I was riding down the road here a while back, and I do a lot of that anymore. And I said, Lord, camp meeting's getting close. I'd like to have a little morsel of what you'd want me to preach on. And he come through. He started talking. And I went to this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, very familiar scripture, verse 6. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now, y'all best be getting into this, or me and her is going to have us a time. I'll preach to her. I have kept the faith. That was enough. But he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. Uh-oh, watch this now. And not to me only. And not to me only. But to all. I love it when God butts in, don't you? But unto all of them also that love His appearing. I listen to a lot of preaching. I have a lot of preachers that I love to listen to, and I glean from them and take from them and use from them, take their sermons, put a little meat with them and preach them. I got that from Roger, by the way. And there's nothing new under the sun, but I was riding down the road and I got to thinking about this, and I started studying on that. And here's what I want to preach on tonight. Cleared for departure. I'm cleared for departure. Now the word departure only appears one time in the New Testament and one time in the Old. And Paul uses it. He says, I'm ready to be offered and my departure is at hand. He didn't say, I'm dying. He said, I'm departing. That word means to put up the tent. It means to lift the anchor. It means to begin to move out. He knew he was headed somewhere because God had been so good to him. You see, unlike us, the Lord showed him what he must face. I've talked to some folks, and there's been a day or two probably in my life, if I had known back then what I know now, I might have just stayed a singer. But we don't know what we're going to face, but we know, and we look at Paul's life, and we see Paul's life in prison. He sang for joy. Well, if they come in here tonight and put us in jail, I dare say half of us would be able to sing. But them old Silas, they whipped them, put them in jail. About midnight, Paul looked over at Silas and said, won't you sing us a song? He said, I'll sing if you'll pray. They started singing and praying. Meeting broke out. About midnight, the Lord showed up and shook the jail. Elvis thought he wrote Jailhouse Rock. It was already a long time before that. The doors flew open. Their shackles fell off, but nobody left. We see his life as far as pain. He suffered much pain. But he said, I count it joy, my Lord. I count it joy. He said, I glory in nothing except the cross. We see his life in parting. And he says, I'm ready to go. Cleared for departure. How can you go through so many things and face many things and do many things and come to this point and say, bless God, I'm ready to leave. I believe one of the reasons he was ready, he had checked out God's grace. He had experienced the grace of God. He had written and said, lest I be exalted above measure for the revelations that I was sent a messenger from Satan that buffeted me. And he said, I prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thing from me. And God said, no. But he did say, my grace is sufficient for thee. What do you mean, my friend? It was a promised grace, as Cal talked about tonight. It was promised the grace of God, something we didn't deserve, something we can't work and do. But thank God it's a beloved gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I say, bless God, I've experienced the grace of God, I've checked her out. Not only it was promised, but it was proven. It was proven grace. My grace is sufficient. That means there's enough. Not wasted, but sufficient. What's that mean? That means there's just what you need when you need it. Saving grace, keeping grace, providing grace. And I've not experienced this grace yet, but other than watching other people receive it, I'm talking about parting grace. That's why Paul could say, I'm ready to be offered. My departure is at hand. I'm leaving this world, but I've got a crown. He checked out the cemetery. He was the type of fella. I've stayed up here now as long as I can. He was the type of fella that run through the cemetery, jump up on a tombstone, and start singing, oh, victory in Jesus. How can he do that? Bless God. He said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In Adam all die, but also in Adam shall all be made alive. I'm telling you, he knew that death had no sting. He knew that the grave had lost her strength. He was cleared for departure. He knew that place could not hold him. He knew that there was somewhere on the other side that one day he would see him face to face. I say, bless God, I'm cleared for departure. I believe he checked out his God. Help me, boys. Now, don't let me mess up here. I believe there's a verse in there that says, I know in whom I have believed. Hallelujah. That word I know means absolutely sure. In whom I believe. Now it gets better. And I'm persuaded. Convinced. That he's able. To keep that word keep, that's a military word. It means to guard. It means to take care of. It means to let not the enemy come. I know, or I am persuaded, I am assured that he's able to keep what? That which I have committed unto him against that day. Now get a hold of this. I looked up that word, committed. Now, it's a banking word. It means to deposit. Listen, I've been to the bank in the sky. I made a deposit there because the president of the bank called me in. I've deposited it into his account. I can't even sign it out no more. Oh, glory to God. I know what the problem with some of you are. Some of you are still at the ATM. You're outside the bank. You ain't got in. Some of you ain't even got out of the car. But bless God, I have deposited. That means, bless the Lord, the devil would try to go in and bring something out. And he'd look and say, nope, that's not the right signature. We can't withdraw that. Bless God, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm committed. I'm glad I'm persuaded. I'm glad I know. And there's not enough devils in hell, out of hell, that convince me that I cannot make it to heaven. Why? Because I'm cleared for departure. Hold on a minute. Woo! Preach on, preach. Now, how this come about? I was riding down the road. The last several years, gas started raising, and see, my wife wouldn't fly. Not that she's afraid of a height; she don't like being closed in. I convinced her one year, a few years back, it was time to go to Tampa. And I said, honey, we can fly there and be there in 2 hours, get off the plane, and do it cheaper than we can drive 2 days and be wore out when we got there. So she said, okay, I don't want to, but I'll go with you. Thank you, Lord. So, we discovered that it was pretty convenient. Can be scary, but not no worse than riding with me, she said. So, about 3 years ago, it come time to go to Tampa again. My oldest sister had been diagnosed and had a brain tumor. So my mom and dad hadn't got to see her. So we decided, my wife and I, we decided that we would take them with us and fly them to Florida to see my sister. Now, I have 2 sisters there. So, I talked to Dad. Didn't have to talk to Mom. She'll do just anything I tell her to. I've got 3 sisters here. They'll tell you I'm the golden child. Good Friday, my mama fried chicken. My brother-in-law walked in and said, is John Michael here? I wasn't there. But they thought the only time they got fried chicken was when I come home. I called her and said, go ahead, Mom, let them have some. So they decided, Ron, that they would go. Their hopes was that she would be able to go there and then come over to the camp meeting. But that year it didn't work out. So Dad said he'd go. My dad, growing up, when any of us kids go to ask him something, he always, the first time, said no. We'd go get ready, come back, and he'd say, okay, you can go. We figured that out. So he said no. Then I left, and evidently the cook had a good talk with him. And I called back, and he said, yeah, I'll go. So what I did, Brother Gary, is I called Southwest Airlines. And I booked us a flight. And they put our names down. I said, booked a flight. So I'm from Kentucky. That's what she told me she'd done. And I figured she wrote my name down in a book. Told us the day, the hour, the flight number. I said, I'll be there. That day come. My sisters brought my mom and dad to Piketon, Ohio, where I picked them up. We went, and my daughter-in-law took us to the airport, and I could have sold tickets.
Yeah, right.
Trying to get us through that airport. We's having fun. Now, I mean, dad in a wheelchair, mom trying to walk through that place. And we get up there and we got to take her shoes off, you know, and pull it. Then we get out on the other side. We made it through security. In other words, they told us that it was all right for us to take this flight. We got out on the other side. I'll never forget it. My wife said, don't say this, but I got to. They had one of them stands there with that hand sanitizer on it. And she looked. She said, Mom, come over here. My mom looked over and saw that. She said, Lord, they ain't going to weigh us too, are they? I love you, Mom. It's funny when you don't mean to be. We're sitting there. Now, we've got our boarding pass. We've been signed up. We're clear. Waiting on the plane. They come on the intercom and said, we're going to have just a little bit of delay. Mama said, why are they doing that? I said, the plane ain't got here yet. So finally it landed. It pulled in. She said, what are they doing now? I said, they're getting ready to put us on board. We got in line. The good thing about having somebody in a wheelchair, they take you right to the front. So this last time, me and Teresa flew, I said, honey, get in that wheelchair. And that's it. No, that ain't true right there. Kyrie told you, here's the only place him and I can have funny fun. Well, they called us. They're boarding. They get Dad and we go down to that door. Just so happened that day there was three male attendants. They was much men. Kind of reminded me of myself when I was their age. Chiseled out of stone, you know. Why do you think she married me? Come on. And this young man looked at my dad and said, sir, have you ever flown before? My dad is a World War II veteran. He was in the airborne paratroopers. In World War II, he jumped out of planes and people shooting at him. And they got him three times, but they didn't kill him. Well, he looked at that fellow, and that fellow, when Dad said, dear God, I sound just like him. God help my wife. My dad went, He said, son, I've jumped out of these things. This is going to be a piece of cake. I'm telling you, when he told them, I told them that he'd been in the war and what he'd done, they treated him like royalty. Put front seats. They started bringing coffee and cookies and everything.
Amen.
Even before we shut the door. My mom said, "Boy, that sure is a good coffee. You reckon they give me more?" Well, they give her bags to take home with them. That's the truth. So we got everybody loaded. And them fellas went through that rigmarole of if perhaps we crash. Kenny Parsons says, sit in the back of the plane. I said, how come you do that? He said, that's the only part you ever see sticking out of the ground. I looked at him and he was serious. Sorry, Kenny. So they went through all of that, and finally, the captain came on the intercom. And Ron, here's what he said. We've been cleared for departure.
Amen.
I don't know if I can get through this or not. We took off. Went through the clouds. Come up on the other side. And it was blue just as far as you could see. They're taking care of my parents. And I'm liking it. We was up there about an hour and hit a little bump of turbulence. Not bad, no more than going over a speed bump out here. My dad looked at that boy and went, guess what that boy did? He went right over there. He said, sir, something wrong? He said, yeah. He said, you need to tell them they need to repave this road up here. It's getting a little bumpy. And he laughed. Oh, here we go. You all don't know where I'm going, see. So about an hour and 10 minutes into the flight, I look up just ahead of me in the two front seats. And there's a gray-headed man and a gray-headed mama that's took care of me all my life. Prays for me every day. And they went to sleep. Because they rose early that morning. They were tired. You know, the Lord didn't say there wouldn't be some bumps along this journey. But He did say we've been cleared for departure. And there ain't a storm. There ain't a cloud. There ain't nothing can keep this plane from reaching its destination, because the Lord has said we shall rise. Woo. We flew a little while longer, and on the intercom came the voice that says, we began our descent. Welcome to Tampa. I reached up. I shook Mom and I shook Dad. I said, get up. We're here. That went clear over your heads. I said, we're here. We landed, got off that plane, and when the doors opened, we went through there, and the doors opened to that place. There stood our family awaiting on us. And bless God, it was a reunion. Who thought an 87-year-old man and an 80-year-old woman would ever get to be on a plane flying to that place? But bless God, they were cleared for departure. I'm blessed to have them here tonight. Now you listen to me. One of these days, I'm aware that while this is so special, is because they're still with me. But one of these days, if God don't come back, they're going to fall asleep. They ain't going to die. They're ready for departure. And on that morning, I believe when the Lord comes back, Dad will reach through that grave and say, Mama, it's time to get up. We've made it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
God. I don't know about you, but I'm cleared for departure. I'm going somewhere. And hallelujah, one of these days, I'll make it to that place.